Welcome to the Uplifters. Today, I am joined by Vanessa Hutchinson Salkley, a California French educator, writer, and mindfulness advocate whose journey has had some unexpected twists and turns. Currently, she's the founder of Big Belly Breathing, where she's creating mindfulness resources and teaching meditation workshops for families and kids and adults. But this came after years of teaching in the San Francisco school district, where she made a brave decision to take a leave and launch her mindfulness business. Vanessa, I'm so excited to talk about that journey of change. Yay. That's a pretty brave leap.
Yeah, it's a big change. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. This is awesome. I'm thrilled to talk about it because now that it's been several years since I took that leap, it's like lessons learned along the way. And, you know, you go into something having some ideas and then they really just evolve over time. And so where I am today is a very different place than where I was in 5 years ago during the pandemic, which is coincides.
And that was the time of great realignment.
Yes. Also aligned with turning 40, which probably also has something to do with it. So two major things make it so I don't like to say midlife crisis. I prefer midlife transformation.
I love that. Crisis does make it seem like there's something broken, but it is such a time for actually awakening.
Totally. It's like the chrysalis.
So take us back 5 years or before. Like, when did you start thinking, maybe I want to change?
Okay. So I graduated from undergrad and immediately got into teaching through Teach for America and started teaching in downtown LA near Koreatown in a 3,000 student middle school. I was teaching sixth grade math science.
Wow.
So one amazing thing while teaching in LA was that I did meet my husband at the school where I was teaching, and he agreed to move back to San Francisco with me. So in 2008, we moved to San Francisco, and it was the first big change for me. So I had been teaching for 7 years, same site, same subject, same grade level, and then moved to San Francisco and was like, it's time for something a bit new. And there was an opportunity to join the new teacher mentoring induction team, which I ended up being a part of for nearly 12 years. It was an amazing job. There was a lot of independence and creativity. And personally, it aligned with like the next phase of my life when I was like going into trying to have kids and entering motherhood. And so it was also a position where there was like really good work-life balance. And we had an awesome team. And so we did that until 2019 and then took sabbatical, which is something that exists in San Francisco Unified, doesn't exist everywhere, but you can apply to take sabbatical and then you can do a travel sabbatical and get paid 60% of your salary and take off for a year and have return rights to the school district. So,
okay.
Okay. So really awesome opportunity. So my husband and I both did it. I, because I was attached to central office, knew that when I returned, I would be looking for a new position. And I was like, this is probably good for me. And my husband, because he was a high school teacher, had return rights to his school. And so for a year, we moved from San Francisco to a tiny village in the French Alps.
Oh my gosh.
And really talk about switching it up. So it's a really like beautiful, tiny alpine village. We're not even in the village. We're 3 kilometers outside of the village next to a farm with a gondola going above the chalet. And it's where my grandparents built their home because my grandfather was the alpine director of this youth sport situation. And he had been a ski instructor and an alpine guide and then was the director of this alpine center and was like, okay, I'm planting roots and I'm building my retirement home here. And it's where I've gone every summer, once a year since I've been born. So it is a place very close to my heart, as was my relationship with my grandparents. When I even think back on like the journey that happened after that Essence sabbatical, the influence of my grandparents, even though they're not around, only strengthened because my grandparents... My grandfather in particular was a man of nature and a man of change and leading folks into holistic wellness journeys, whether they be physical, emotional or mental. So very inspirational.
Wow.
And when we were there, my two little girls were in the school in the village, and they were able to do all the village things like join ski team and ice skating club. And so it was really great. And then, of course, it also coincides with being the year that the world changed. The pandemic started happening like geographically very close to us because we're very close to the Italian border. I am thankful that we were there because we were next to a forest. And so as the schools shut down, as you know, we were no longer able to leave our homes without having a written form that was signed saying what we were doing. And because we were in nature, it made it a little bit easier. And also the schools went back in session in France in June of 2020, which was a different situation than in San Francisco. So when we returned that summer to San Francisco, my husband knew that he was going back to his school, but then I had to look for a job. And this is again, another big movement in the journey of what ended up happening, because I found a job that made a lot of sense on paper. I was the instructional coach at a middle school. And so given my years of coaching and also working specifically with a lot of middle school teachers and administrators, this made a lot of sense, except that that is the year that in San Francisco, the schools remained closed for pretty much the entire year. And as we entered into the period of Zoom life, where I then was in, you know, tons of meetings and also co-teaching a homeroom on Zoom, which became, I would say, one of the highlights of that job because I was forward-facing with students. It also was one of those moments where I was like, what are we doing? Like, what is happening? The kids have their cameras off. It is completely, this is like depressing. How do we lift them up? How can we maintain any semblance of joy in what is a very like anxiety producing, sorry, just got a little emotional. Okay. How do we maintain this for them? So what that meant for me was that I was like, I have to think of what I can do that isn't going to be completely on Zoom. I ended up getting my PE credential because I was like, let's move this outside. And so turns out it's not easy to get your PE credential because there's so much science in there. And however, Mama studied hard and got that. And next year, I went into an elementary PE position. And so it was great. The schools were reopening too. I felt like it was my opportunity to connect with students outside and figure out within the context of physical education, what can we do to help boost mental and emotional joy and social connections. And so PE became a vessel in some ways to expose them to sports and skills. But really, it was also a time where we were doing gratitude, appreciations. I introduced Qigong because the majority of my students also came from Chinese American families. And that was something that many of them said that they connected to within their community. And we were like, fine, let's bring some of those movements into our warm-ups. We were doing yoga. And it was just really great to see. They were, oh my God, they were so cute. They were so positive. They were so open. They were so curious. And you could tell that some of them were really shy and that some of them had social skills that had just been really impacted by the pandemic. There were just some serious delays happening with coordination, with connections. And so in this opportunity of we met outside for every single PE class, it was a tiny blurb of just trying to get comfortable in our own bodies, to move together, and also to be in connection and in relation with other kids, because that's something that had vaporized for a minute. And so simultaneously, I had the opportunity to do a yoga teacher training program through Breathe for Change, which is an awesome organization that is started by teachers and for educators, where you get a simultaneous social emotional learning facilitator certification, as well as your 200-hour yoga teacher training certification. And I never wanted to do a program that was online before, because for me, part of it was going to be about being in connection and the energy in the room. And then suddenly, because of being outside with kids all the time, I was like, actually, let's just see what it's like to do this online because it's really convenient. And hats off to that organization because they had 200 to 300 folks on Zoom for all of the meetings. And to be able to run an engaging Zoom with that many folks, like, it was great. It was really, really awesome. So that year of being a PE elementary school teacher, I also got my yoga certification and was then teaching yoga to the kids whenever we had a rainy day schedule and we could get inside and just do full sessions together. And I was like, oh, is this my favorite part of what is happening? Mm. Like, I love like sports and I love introducing kids to activities that they're unfamiliar with, but also to be on the mat together and to see how we could bring in and increase the feelings of calm and to see them settle in and settle down. That became something that really piqued my curiosity. And so there were a couple things that happened that year, some personal, some professional, but I basically decided to take a leave of absence at the end of that year. I needed to have some time to focus on my family. And I took a leave of absence with this idea that I was going to try and develop something. And because I'm French American, I was like, I'm going to try and develop something for kids in both languages that educators as well as caregivers could use. And what was happening on a micro level, I was like, what can I do like on a macro level? So that was the idea when I took my leave off. And I meditate. I'm like obsessed with meditation as probably the greatest tool I've ever learned in my life. And so don't get me started on that or do, but I was in a meditation in France and I like came out of it and I was like, big belly breathing. I was like, that's the name of whatever it is I'm going to do. And I didn't know what I was going to do yet, but I was like, I've got a name, got to secure it, got to get a website just secured with a domain. And then that whole first year, which is now 3 years ago, that year was my year of developing something. It was great because we as a like family decided there was kind of no pressure for that financial year. We took for that first year, we took out a loan to cover my lack of salary. And my husband was so supportive. I just explored what was going on, but I also took like watercolor classes. I started cleaning toilets at a yoga studio to get a free membership, which led me to discover that I didn't know core power yoga, but I became obsessed with like core power yoga because the teachers there were really great. And eventually one of them was having lunch with me and she was like, wait, you have your yoga certification? How are you not teaching? And I was like, I'm not ready. And she's like, yes, you are. So shout out to Irvi, but I then auditioned and started teaching at Core Powers. And that was just great because I felt like it was also very nourishing as I was in this deep developmental project phase where I started that first year. Basically, I was like, I'm going to create something. It's going to be a podcast. It's going to include like videos. It's going to have text. It's going to have curriculum. Like each month, I'm going to be able to like produce all of this. And somebody, you know, a teacher could use it in the classroom. Parents could use it at home. And so I did this whole like 1 month test drive and sent it out to loads of folks. And I was like, give me all the feedback. It's all free right now. And the feedback was really good because it was like, girl, this is too much. This is too much. Like, you know what's happening in your brain, but somebody who is already engaged in what they're doing, they're not going to be able to ping pong around and it needs to be more simple. And I was like, okay. Because also producing this all on my own, I was like, it'll be fine. I can like upload videos like weekly. I can do the weekly podcast. I can do the scripts and share them. And then of course, everything is more intensive. So I scaled back to just being like, okay, you're right. What's the thing that people are gravitating to? What are kids saying that they enjoy out of everything more? And so we went from kind of like, I went from the idea of like a full program, like wraparound, but I was like by myself doing all this to, okay, let's keep it simple. Let's just keep it focused on a podcast. And so it pivoted to a podcast with guided meditations. So there are at this point over 100 half in French, half in English. Most of them are for kids, but not all. Because then I was like, we have to have some for teens. There's got to be some for adults. So this has all been part of seeing the snowball change shape as it continues to roll forward. Mm. But the guided meditations became a thing where I was like, oh, it's so exciting for me to see that there are people in all the continents, except for Antarctica, who have listened to my voice. In each of the podcasts, I was like, we're going to introduce a breathing practice. There's going to be a theme, and then we're going to travel the world. And so I would choose a place in the world, a city, do some research, and then the whole meditation would be a moment to drop in and be peaceful and focus on your breathing, but as well travel in your mind to a place, actually visiting like locations in that place. So I was thinking this would just be, you know, increasing someone's exposure to different places in the world with the idea that maybe one day they would go to that place and they would say, wow, I'd listen to a meditation about this. Meditation has brought a lot to me personally. I was trained in transcendental meditation. And then for being able to share something on a greater scope, I was like, okay, I'm not going to necessarily teach mantra meditation in this context. We're just going to do some guided meditations. So that became a big thing. And then from then it's pivoted where I've also made journals. And so I've published, like I've self-published on Amazon journals in French and in English for kids, teens, adults, that all are supposed to help us just build our habits, our routines, our rituals, where if we take time daily to focus on how we connect with others, what we're eating, time in nature, and we like take some time to think about or write about it, like overall, these are things that are going to increase our well-being and joy. And as we navigate through life, we know that there's so much that is out of our control. Mm-hmm. And there is so much that is coming at us that is scary and anxiety producing and negative. And so those things are true. And yet what is also true is that we can also build up our joy muscles.
I love that.
And I think that that's an important thing to be able to recognize and mm-hmm. to focus on. That was a lot.
Yeah. And to feel like we have that potential to do that. So what you're talking about there, right, is the ability to know our own strength and our own capacity to create change. And so as I listened to you, I was kind of making notes about your process, because I think it is easiest for us as humans to learn things that we feel like we believe we have seen modeled and we can understand. And so I'm going to do my best to kind of translate what you just said into a process. Mm-hmm. And what I heard here is that you recognized a need in the world, and then you set out to learn ways to address that need by both catalyzing the experiences that you'd already had, but then by also really nourishing your own needs as a learner by mm-hmm. learning new skills in order to meet that need. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing you did is you asked very clearly, is this my favorite part? And so what I saw mm-hmm. you doing there was considering your own needs, right? And that's what a totally. Lot of us uplifters neglect, right? We get so focused on service and impact that we forget to ask, like, what do I feel good doing? And so I think that's totally. A really juicy and important piece of this. Then you created space in order to meet both the external and internal needs mm-hmm. by taking this leave. And then I watched you start to clear the barriers, right? So what were some of the main barriers that you described? Money. What are we going to do? Not enough money. Okay, let's consciously address that barrier. Get the money part taken care of. The other mm-hmm. barrier is I'm not ready, right? And that's the mindset that stands in our way so often. And so mm-hmm. you were able to really like acknowledge that honestly, face it, and create a way through that that was very practical and active, right? We're never really going to fully believe we're ready, but if we can just get ourselves to the doing, mm-hmm. then eventually we will probably believe. Mm-hmm. And so rather than trying to think your way through it, you acted your way through it with a little nudge from someone else.
Yes.
And then this act of testing and learning. So you created something, you bravely shared it. That's a tenet of what I call courage capital, is being willing to make something messy and say, hey, everybody, here it is. What do you think? And not being too precious and waiting for it to be perfect. And then allowed yourself to sort of narrow that funnel.
Totally.
Until you found the thing that you were able to take from micro to macro.
Absolutely. You're so good. You're so good at summarizing what you hear. Oh my God, I'm so impressed.
I think it's a really powerful and repeatable process, honestly. Whatever our mission, our goals are, that is a process that we can see modeled in you and that we can repeat. I'm curious what the scariest or hardest part was for you in that.
Taking the leap is probably the scariest. I had been really stable for 20 years. So for 20 years, I was like, I am in a job that, you know, leads to retirement. Like, I don't have to think about what I'm doing outside of my job in terms of service to the world, because the daily job is doing that. And it's very consistent. It's very stable. And so leaving that was probably the hardest thing. And also, because I knew it was just for 1 year initially, and we had this loan, then that tempered what was going on. And so I think for most people, the scariest thing is changing up what you do on a daily basis, what your norm is. If there are things that can make that less scary, then that's great, because lesson learned, it was the best decision of my life. And that first year was when I learned how to record a podcast, how to do video editing. I fell in love with Canva. I love Canva. Like all these different platforms and tools, which I could have used in another job, but I hadn't yet. It just became really exciting to be a learner and to be able to have the time and space to like go into things.
I was gonna say, your learner brain was firing. Yeah.
Yes.
Which is when we make that level of change.
Yes.
We're learning everything new.
It was so stimulating and it was so fun. I was having the time of my life, and I've always cared how like I did in a job in terms of wanting to do well in whatever I was doing, but I didn't feel like I was on fire until that year. And that first year, I was like, there is not enough time in the day. I have this amount of time before I have to think about picking up my kids in the afternoon. It's never enough. I was working before, I was working after, but it never felt like work. It was just really awesome and it was really fun. And I'm like, dude, that's what we need, is we need to figure out whatever sparks our own joy, because it makes us better people to interact with the people in our families and whom we're in connection to. So I'm in like a really awesome French or Francophone women entrepreneur group called the L Collective. I've joined a couple other groups as well, because it's pretty isolating when you're, you know, just doing everything on your own. From having gone from a situation where I was like in community all the time to being alone, I was like, I know myself, like I like to be in community also. And so I joined these groups, and that is a great lesson learned, is like, you know, it's important in terms of just being able to get feedback and then also just talk about whatever is going on, the highs and the lows. And something that I hear come up all the time from other people who are taking big risks is this fear about putting it out there and not having it be perfect. And it's interesting because that wasn't one of my fears. And so I feel like it's also something that I really love to talk about, because I see how, especially for women, we have to be sure that it's perfect because we don't want to offend somebody. We want to do it right. And that keeps people from producing things. At the end of the day, you improve by producing and putting it out there. And so,
amen.
If we believe what we say, which is like, we believe in the growth mindset and we don't believe in the fixed mindset, then we actually have to just mess up, and we have to be okay with messing up. And we have to also not look at it as like a mess up, but just like part of the process. I feel like I've entered the phase of my life where I am like throwing pasta at the wall and just seeing what sticks. But I'm just like, we just have to do it. And we have to encourage each other to do it, because sometimes you're going to get something that's going to lead you to something else. But if you're just holed up in your corner and you're not putting it out there for other people's eyes, it's not going to be the best, because it's always better when somebody else can tell you something that is going to inspire you to the next best thing.
Yes. I agree completely. I talk about it as experimenting in my work and life. And for me, it is, I feel like my secret sauce is my willingness and eagerness to experiment.
Yeah.
And it sounds like not dissimilar to you. It gives me that desire to really invest and play because I'm like,
yes.
Oh my gosh. Yes. What am I going to learn today?
Totally. Play. Exactly. Play.
Yeah. It's not so precious.
And get into the flow.
I don't have to get it all right.
Yeah. And you take your ego out of it also in that sense. Yeah. It almost makes it easier for me too, instead of holding on to something. And I'm like, the more you hold on to it and you want it to be perfect, then the more I feel like you're setting up expectations for something versus like, just do and like evolve and improve. And this actually just recently came up in a conversation because, so in the spirit of that, I just started a new podcast, and this came out of left field. The Golden State Valkyries is the new WNBA team in San Francisco that started in May. So they recently just started. And I had already just, my love for the Valkyries had started maybe a year and a half ago as we saw that they were coming to town. And I was like, oh, to have women basketball players come here to see what is going on with the WNBA, to see the fervor and love and joy that is going on at these games. And so fast forward, I bought season tickets to see them, which I also was like, never in my life did I think I was going to be a season ticket holder. And also got like 15 people to do the same. And so we have this whole chunk of seats. We brought all our kids. The first preseason game was one of the most wildly immersive, joyous experiences I've ever like participated in. It's like, suddenly I was like, am I evangelizing the WNBA? Because what we were seeing there, I was like, especially in contrast to the political divisions and the hate that is happening, this just felt like it was inclusive, full of love. And so we left that game, and one of my girlfriends, also a high school ex basketball player, so same as me, and a teacher and also an entrepreneur, she just left me a voice memo, and she's like, we should start a podcast about this. And because I knew what it was like to start a podcast, I was like, sure. And there was not a second thought about it. And part of that was because I know how to do this. I'm also like, this seems fun. I don't know where this is going. And so why I bring this up is because the other day we had this conversation, and she was just expressing a little bit of anxiety about not knowing where we were going with this. And kind of also this idea of not perfection, but having to be a certain way, all the episodes that we put out. And I was looking at her, I was like, I love you. And also I think we're good. We are having a blast doing this. It's coming out in the energy of the episodes. And it's been 3 years that I've already done something like this. So I'm in a different zone. We don't need to know where this is going. We'll figure it out along the way.
You have the evidence.
Yes, we have the evidence. And then this has become one of the best things. So now we have this new podcast, Valkyries Say Less. I see it taking off in a way that my meditation one didn't at the same rate. And it's only been 30 days. And I was like, there's kind of like this energy about it that's matching like this new season and the energy of the games. I'm watching it happen, and oh, I'm so happy to be a part of it. And I think that's like another thing. Find the things that bring you joy, and then figure out how to connect and be a part of it, how to produce something within that joy.
Yeah. Take what you love and share it with other people. Seems to be a continuous theme for you.
Yes.
So you alluded to the power of meditation for you. Mm-hmm. Tell us just in a couple of words what it has meant for you and why you believe in it so deeply.
Thank you for asking. Okay, so as like a 46-year-old mom, wife, entrepreneur, teacher, we all wear a gazillion hats. Person in the world, as we age, we can see that our energy is impacted. We're pulled in so many different directions. And what I hear from a lot of people is just they're trying to deal with different levels of fatigue throughout the day. Meditation is the most beneficial tool that I learned 15 years ago, is because before I meditate, after I meditate, there's like such a clear difference in how I feel. And I, at the end of the day, meditation, it like boosts energy and creativity. And the number of times that I'm in some subconscious moment mode and then feet, and then there's this thought and I was like, oh, okay, I'll just get to that later. It's all the time. And so I always equate like pre-meditation. I do it 2 times a day. I do it right when I wake up in the morning and then I do it in the afternoon. And it's a different vibe because of the different times of the day. But usually in the afternoon, I always feel like my brain is like a dried out crispy sponge. Like that sponge that has been sitting on your sink for 2 days because you haven't done the dishes. And it is just like hard as a rock and your brain is fried. So a lot of times I feel like that by the afternoon because all the stimulation from the day has taken its toll. And then I meditate and then I equate it as a graceful hand taking that sponge and just dipping it into a bucket of water and taking it out and squeezing it. And it's just so juicy. And that's how my brain feels afterwards. This is free. It's something that everybody can do. And it literally makes you feel better. And of course, the hardest thing for most people is getting into a practice or sticking to a practice. And for that, I love Insight Timer because you can use the free version. You can set up your timers and then it tracks your like time meditating. And for some people, that external reward of seeing their minutes rack up is a bonus. It is literally the best thing. And I did create an online course for tweens to teach them how to do it. And then outside of that, I teach groups, one-on-one or small groups. I've done like school staffs. I've done parents and their kids. This summer, I am going to do it with some junior French national athletes in the mountains. And ultimately, actually, I want to propose it to the Valkyries. So I want to write to them come fall and just see if they have any interest in doing a meditation workshop post-season. So
I love it. And I love that you said that out loud, right? Yeah. That's how that stuff becomes real. We don't just hold it in our heads and be like, dream to me is like one of the biggest fallacies in our society is don't tell anybody your wish when you blow out your candles. What a load of BS. Tell everyone your wish if you want it to come true.
Scream your wish. Yes. Scream your wish. I know. I was like, hey, Valx, I'm coming to you soon to offer you how to meditate with a mantra.
We are ready.
That is my dream.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited. Can't wait to hear about it. And that's how it's going to happen. It's not by holding it in. So you make meditation sound super compelling. Would you want to walk us through a little something?
Sure. Absolutely. All right. Find a comfortable seat and just take a moment to settle in. If you like to have your eyes closed, close your eyes, or just take a soft gaze and begin to become aware of your breathing and your body. So if your feet are planted on the floor, just feel them connect to the earth or to the ground. If you're cross-legged, then just notice how you're sitting, where your hands are, and just begin to focus on your inhale. So take a nice, slow, long inhale in through your nose. And then an even slower exhale out through your mouth. Awesome. Just like that. Do it once more. Big, slow breath in, feeling your belly expand as you inhale through your nose. And then pause at the top and exhale even slower through your mouth, feeling your shoulders relax. And as you continue to breathe on your own, then just become aware of different sensations in your body. And we're going to start with the top of our head. And as we inhale, and exhale. We're just going to say or think a gentle, kind thought to the top, to the crown of our head. Thanking our brains for working, for having all the thoughts. And just continue to breathe as we work our way down through a small body scan, becoming aware of different smells around us and sensations. All of a sudden, bring your awareness to your hands. Are your hands resting in your lap? Are they on your knees? Do they feel warmth? And throughout this all, just continue to take a nice, juicy, slow breath in and out. And we're just going to drop down and bring our attention to our hearts. And maybe even place your hands on your heart. One hand on top of the other hand. Pressing your hand gently over your heart. Giving yourself an extra warm mini hug of love and gratitude. And in this moment, take one moment to share a kind thought to yourself, something that you're proud about yourself. And we'll take one final breath in together on the inhale, puffing up our bellies. And on the exhale, we're going to think of sharing that kind thought outward. And if your eyes are closed, open them up. And thank you for sharing a little bit more love into the world. See you next time.
Thank you for sharing a little more love. That was lovely.
Oh, you're welcome.
And just a little refresher I needed mid-afternoon.
All right. Yeah.
I'm excited to go into my day with that.
Wonderful. I love that. Thank you.
We think about food and coffee and all these other things as fuel. You're showing us and telling us is that breath can power us too. And
oh, yeah.
That it's sort of the ultimate fuel.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And those other things are great and I love them.
Same.
And also, we feel a physiological transformation with breath in our body when we take a moment to slow down. And so what I recommend are to try and build in those opportunities throughout the day so they are a natural part of your day as a way to reboost and to stay lifted so that we can be our best selves and play and be of great service to others in the world.
Oh, beautiful. So speaking of lifting, as uplifters, we love to lift up other uplifters. So how can we best lift you up at this moment in your life and work?
Thank you for asking. Listen to my podcasts. That would be the biggest uplifters for me. They're on all the platforms. My guided meditation one is called Big Belly Breathing, and that's also the name of my website, bigbellybreathing.com. You can find it wherever you listen to podcasts. And then, of course, I've also got my latest one, Valkyrie's Say Less. And if you're feeling up to it, if you listen on Apple, if you want to write something, do a little rating review, that's cherry on top, but really it's just thrilling to be able to see that this is getting into the ears of others and hopefully sparking joy.
Each guest nominates someone who lifts them up. who exemplifies the spirit of the Uplifters. So who would you like to nominate?
Well, I would love to nominate my current podcast co-host, Raina Mast. She is someone who I admire so deeply for how she moves in the world. She cares deeply about other people, as exemplified in her profession, her art, and her family. She's a teacher. She is a wonderful ceramicist. She makes gorgeous pottery. She also is just a wonderful mother and spouse. The way that she is with her children, with her three children, is something that reminds me of all the hope in the world of the future generations to come. So cheers to you, Raina. You're just the ultimate babe, and I love you.
What a beautiful acknowledgement of her. I think that there's nothing better than being admired by the people we admire. So what a gift to give Raina and all of us. It was really nice meeting you. Thank you for sharing your process for creating change and proving to us that we are ready and that we get to play and that being messy is actually a desirable part of the process.
Yeah. Yes. Go be messy. Go have fun and go do the things that bring you joy and, you know, help others find those things too. Thank you. This was such a, it's really awesome to carve out time to think and talk about things like this.
Thank you for listening to the Uplifters podcast. If you're getting a boost from these episodes, please share them with the Uplifters in your life and then join us in conversation over at theuplifterspodcast.com. Head over to Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast and like, follow, and rate our show. It'll really help us connect with more Uplifters and it'll ensure you never miss one of these beautiful stories. Mwah! Big love.
Painted water sunshine with rosemary and thyme. Dwell in the perplexing, though you find it vexing. Toss a star and hover, be your own best lover. Relish in a new prime, plant a tree in springtime. Dance with idle hindsight, bring the sun to twilight. Lift you up, whoa. Lift you up, whoa. Lift you up, whoa. Lift you up. Lift you up, whoa.
In the pre-chorus, right?
I was like, "Mommy, stop crying! Mommy, stop crying! You're disturbing the peace."